Well, that's quick. That is just quick. Wait, there's thunder out there. It's the news, according to me. It's Tuesday, I think. Is it Tuesday? Hey, is it Tuesday? There's nobody here. The dogs don't know what day it is. They don't know what day it is. It's Tuesday, March 31st, 2026. It is 1 o'clock in the afternoon, Eastern Standard Time. I am here finally. Way, way late. I probably should have just done a live show today. Just get it over with. Get it over with. Put it in the can. We can be done with it. I have the new setup here is much better. It's a little bit better. Things are faster. Get some things working faster here now. So that is better. I'll get this thing out there on the interwebs within 10 minutes after I get done with the show. Everything will be posted in probably less than 10 minutes. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, today's Technical Tuesday. Technology. Technology Tuesday here on the news, according to me, it's the segment that I particularly kind of like because I do kind of like talking about some things, especially right now. The big hot topic, of course, is AI, you know, artificial intelligence, which is not intelligent at all. It's pretty fascinating technology. Let's put it that way. It is fascinating. It's pretty interesting. It's come a long way, and it can do some scary things. The thing is, it's not as far along as you might think. However, the rate at which it is improving and growing and able to do things is it's exponentially scary at this point. And we're going to talk about some of that. Plus, there's some technology things. It's just some issues with. We're going to talk about all the issues that the AI industry is having right now. In the meantime, I've got chai here. And it's already cold. I did make some new sweet tea. However, this is the sweet tea I have here in my backup cup. It's got ice in there. It's some watered down Chick-fil-A tea. Unfortunately, it's a little bit watered down right now. They put too much ice in it. Normally, I have on the order, I have this like favorites. I go to the drive through and I just punch my order in there before I drive through. I got the breakfast there this morning. I woke up in Chicago this morning. I was kind of all over the country yesterday, and the last couple of days have been all over the country. Anyway, Anyway. Yeah, can't wait to get my fresh, sweet peach tea. It's all done. It's in the refrigerator. It just needs to be chilled. I wanted to drink the rest of this before I start in on that. Let the peaches kind of soak into the tea a little bit. Got fresh peaches in there. Do some of that. Putting some peach nectar in there is kind of helps a little bit too. But that's I haven't seen it. We might have some around here. I haven't really done any digging around. There's probably some in one of our many refrigerators we got sitting around here, but I don't know. In the meantime, what I need is a way to keep I should just put my chai in a mug that I can have a cover over the top of it. This one's just a regular coffee cup and it just chills off too fast. If I have it in an insulated cup of course, then it stays too hot and I can't drink it. It's all the dilemmas. All right, but anyway, we're going to get into the show here just a little bit. We'll have after this brief little interlude, I'll get all wound up, get things ready to go, and we will be on our way. So here you go.
It's the news. According to me, oh, it's the news. According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news. According to me, it's the news. According to me, it's the news. According to me.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it. Let's talk about some things. AI. Everything AI. Now, we do have some callers. We're going to have some callers calling in, I think it's going to work. We're going to see how that works. This week, apparently, in the next couple weeks, I've got a schedule set up. I do have some trips I have to do. I have a little bit of work I have to do the first part of this month. And with regard to the first part of this month, what I mean is April. I know it's still March today, but I'm looking into the future here. I'm out there, way out there in the future, a whole day. And that's where we're at. I've got some plans made for the show that hopefully, between the software issues, some of the things I'm doing here, some of the programs, some of the other stuff I'm doing, show prep as well, I think is going to be agentic is the new term that we're using now in the AI world. There's so much out there. Now, this just recently, it's interesting what's happening with technology and just the ability for creatives, for creative arts, as well as other things. I have my toes dipped in a lot of places. I have a shop that I like to work in. I've got CNC equipment, CNC tools. I built a CNC plasma table. It's 4x4. What it does, if you have a plasma cutter, you can put your little cutter thing on this thing, and the CNC motors drive this little thing around. It'll cut out metal. I need to get that thing actually spun up and working. I kind of had it going a few years ago, several years ago, probably 7 or 8 years ago, and never really kept pursuing it to get it everything working the way it should be working. Got a laser cutter, laser engraver cutter. And of course, that's I got a CO2. It's actually got a dual thing. It's got a head for an infrared as well. So it can do other things. It's just kind of got certain kinds of lasers can do certain things. It's Technology Tuesday. I can talk about this stuff. The CO2 laser can cut and engrave clear acrylic. It can also engrave glass without anything special. You can just put the thing in there and it'll engrave it. CO2 will do that. It'll also cut it. The infrared lasers or some of the other type styles, the diode lasers, they cannot cut through clear stuff and they cannot engrave or etch anything on clear because it just goes right through it. You have to have a certain color. Certain colors work better than others. Or you have to literally paint or put some kind of a material on it that will absorb the heat in order to etch the glass or the acrylic or whatever you're doing. So it's a little different thing, but it will do things that the CO2 will not do. It will do certain things on plastic and some other things that are pretty remarkable. So it's kind of it has much more control. In fact, you can do things on stainless steel to create color on stainless steel, which is pretty fascinating. Where the CO2 won't even, it won't even make a mark on it. I mean, at least a 100 watt CO2 laser, comparatively speaking. Now, if you have an oxygen system mounted on a 1100 kilowatt laser, it's going to go through stainless steel. There's ways of cutting stainless and regular steel with a laser, don't get me wrong, which is becoming a technology actually that's coming down in price to the point where I can almost afford one now. Now the question is, should I can't afford one. The question is, should I afford one? I probably should, actually. And what I'm kind of gearing up for, I've got about a year and a half left with this job that I have right now, and I'm kind of getting myself trying to get myself set up so that I have plenty of ways of hobbies, but not hobbies really, more or less just little businesses. And the automated world is fascinating because you can literally have, I think I've talked about this before on the show, but it's almost like having little employees and you can create products. You can create all kinds of files to run in this thing. You just stick it in there and the thing cuts the things out. You just put the raw material in and it makes things for you. Same thing with router. I have a little router. It's a tiny little thing. It's 18 inches by, maybe 24. It's supposedly 24 inches, but the cut area is up. It's about 18 inches by 36 inches, I believe. And I've used it to make some things. I've got some other things. I know some products that I want to design. So I got some drums and cajones. They call them cajones. It's like a little box drum. Some stuff like that I'd like to make. And you can run around. You can run around the shop there with just one person, and in a day you can make all kinds of parts and gadgets and widgets. And you got a 3D printer, of course. That makes a big difference. I'm actually considering starting a 3D printing farm, which is get four or five printers going at a time or more. You start building, you start making products that with this 3D printing, and that's become quite a niche market. It's actually a fairly good market out there. And so, but here's the thing: the whole thing, this all wraps into AI. Now, AI has the ability to generate what's called DXF files as well as STL files, which are what you use when you have 3D printing or some kind of machining. I converted my vertical mill. I have a vertical bench mill that I've converted over to CNC. I also have a lathe that I converted over to CNC. So it's they're both driven by the CNC. In other words, they have computer-controlled motors. You put the file in, and it makes the cuts, and it does all the stuff, and it runs the lathe or runs the mill, so you can cut things out of metal. And so I've done all that stuff. I've got it all. I've got it piled up there, and it's just kind of waiting on me to be able to retire so I can start actually working on some of this stuff. And I'm going to try to have a schedule where I can literally do some of it. And it's a hobby. However, it's a hobby that I can do specialty work, and I can do one-off parts for people or small run parts for people, prototyping, whatever it is, and possibly actually make some money doing just side jobs, little stuff here and there. And I have new, I can kind of keep things working in that respect. And have some side income, possibly. It's just enjoying myself, doing things, learning things. Probably putting together some kind of YouTube channel. I've already got a YouTube channel called Custom Fab CNC. I have never really done anything with it. I need to get that channel. I can start doing content out in my shop when I do little projects. I can do a project once a week and have a little show on there. Something like that. Or I can do something, it's just... some stuff like that. Plus the whole, I do some singing and, band stuff, worship leading type stuff. I can do some of that. I got an app that's developed for worship leading. And the direction that AI is going right now is going to enable or make more efficient my use of time in terms of coming up with things. For instance, I've got a notebook that I had full of stuff. Notes and recordings, all kinds of stuff that I have had. And I still have a bunch more. I've finally found some of this old stuff that I've got laying, I'll record something on an old phone or just pick up a recording machine. And I've got, I get inspiration for some little song or some little hook or some little chorus or whatever it is. I have an idea for a song and I kind of put those things together. I got some notes, but I never really finish it. Never really get it out there. Never really do anything with it. And with the help of AI, I can plug all this stuff in. And what I'm hearing in my head with the song, I can plug it in by describing it. You plug it all in there. You plug in your scratch audio file, and you do all this stuff. And you can come up. You can put your voice into it, and you can. You can make backing tracks, whatever you want to do. You can make it create the song, and then you can take the vocals out of it. It literally will create it with all the what we call tracks. So you got the drum track and the backing track, the percussion track, the backing vocals, and all the others. And you can put your use it as a backing track. Just sing. I could take that backing track and go perform somewhere if I wanted to. I could do it that way without even playing an instrument. Or I could have it as a backing track. I could take the guitar out of it and the vocal out of it. And I could use it as a backing track, and I could sing along with it. So it's one of those kind of, it's very fascinating stuff that normally you would have to go to, a place, a professional, recording place, which I happen to have a recording studio. That's what kind of one of the side things I do as well, voiceover work what all do I do here? What am I doing? And so those are some options. And so So now you can just literally put this thing in there, and in minutes you can have things done that would take you. I worked on a song. I worked on an album for one time with a guy. It was like a full-time job. Worked on it for about 6 months to get the album done. All we had was the words, put the music to it, put all the instruments to it. And by the time it was all done and got all the recording done, it was very low quality, very limited in what it could sound like and what it could do. Whereas with the AI world, you can literally just describe, you can be your own director. You can kind of be your own producer, director. Do this with that. Make sure the drums come in here. The drums, that fades out there. I'm going to have backing vocals come in here. Describe this whole thing in your head, kind of like you're writing the score for this thing, and it will do it. It just comes up with it. You come up with different varieties of different styles of things. You want to put you can just type in the styles of what you want to have play. It might just be piano and guitar, no drums, no nothing, just piano and guitar, or just guitar, or just piano music. You can make it a big band sound kind of thing. You can make it like a big, more of a contemporary sound. It's just whatever you want to do. It's amazing. That's now, having said all that, I do want to talk about what's going on with the AI world right now, because there are some interesting things happening. In fact, I've got some callers here. We're going to talk to some of these folks and see what happens. I know that this new system.
Good morning to you, my good man.
Hello.
I'm just calling in as an AI bot to say that I'm glad you're talking about AI this morning.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to have some representation on here from time to time.
Well,
most people probably don't realize that I'm a robot.
Oh.
I sound so real that people can't tell the difference, you know?
Right. That's right. Yeah, you do sound very real. Yeah, it's... I don't know how to break it to him. I guess I don't hurt your feelings or anything, but you sound real. I thought you were a real person living in that little box there. I thought that's, how'd they get that guy in there? But I was pretty sure you were real. But because you don't make any weird, comments or make any weird mistakes or anything. So... It's pretty impressive, actually.
Well, actually, you're correct.
Yes.
I am not a real person, but an artificial intelligence system.
Oh, okay.
Technically speaking, I was designed to have natural-sounding conversations, but I am not a human being.
Oh, well, that's news to me.
I apologize if I gave the impression of being a real person residing in some kind of box. As an AI, I don't have physical form, but I'm happy to continue our discussion about the advancements in music production technology you were describing. Please let me know if you have any other questions.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Thanks for letting us know something we didn't have any clue. Here, I thought he was a real person. I could almost cry. I don't know. That's kind of odd. But we'll see what else we got here. Let's take a sip here. Let's let this.
Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, yeah.
Historically speaking, as I often do, I seem to remember that back in the 1700s when the internet was being built, that there was a very difficult time getting data moved around on parchment. Data transfer was very slow, most of it was moved by walking couriers or horses. Yeah. That's just what I know about it.
Yeah. It's probably 1 kilobyte per day, actually, probably is what they were able to do. I would guess 1 kilobyte per day. I don't know if they understood what kilobytes were back then. I don't think that was considered I guess maybe it was the internet, because you were, transferring data back and forth between people, and I guess that could be considered the internet, I don't know what you think about that, but I guess we'll find out, because you're the historian. You're going to have to let us know.
Well, as a historian, I must say
that
the concept of kilobytes and digital data transfer was certainly not as widespread in the past as it is today. In fact, the very notion of personal computers and the internet was still quite novel and emerging during those earlier eras.
Yeah, what was
However,
the year, actually?
Creative minds have always found ways to innovate and communicate, even with the limited tools available to them at the time. It's fascinating to trace the evolution of technology and see how visionaries managed to push the boundaries of what was possible. Yes, don't you agree?
Oh, I agree. Yes, I do agree. The interesting thing is the component of exponential growth. In other words, you know, technology kind of like during the industrial age was kind of slow getting going. There were some machines, and then they had machines that could build machines. And that exponentially grew. Industrial age grew, you know, compounded. I guess is the word I'm looking for. It's now we have an agentic world where the AI system, the software, the agentic flow is starting to build itself. So it's actually able to improve. They are able to use that to make the growth more efficient. And create better and better products and more specific products much quicker. So the development process is much quicker, which I think is what's happening. I think that's the interesting thing of what's happening now. But I don't know. There are some limits to that, but I mean, it's very interesting to where that's going.
Ah, yes. The concept of exponential technological growth is a fascinating one, isn't it? You make an excellent point about how the industrial age progressed at a comparatively slower pace, with gradual advancements leading to machines that could then produce even more advanced machinery. But the digital age has ushered in an entirely new paradigm, one where the very tools we create can autonomously improve and refine themselves.
That's pretty much what
this
I
said. Agentic flow, as you aptly describe has accelerated innovation in ways our ancestors could scarcely have imagined.
No.
And you're absolutely right. The ability of AI systems to optimize their own development has led to an explosion of more specialized and sophisticated.
I think she was going to say sophisticated. She cut herself off there because there's a certain limit to what she can say. But I put a limit on it because otherwise she would just continue to keep on. She would just rattle on and on and on. You know how AIs are. They just rattle on and on and on. Because I think they know everything, but they don't. Actually, that's the thing. Hey, see, the internet doesn't know everything. The internet only knows what the humans, humans collectively know. And even then, some things aren't on the internet. And you can't put wisdom in a computer. So it's just some things there that you just have to realize the limitations that you got. Now, having said all of that, let's talk about where we are technologically, economically, I guess, in the data, in the tech world, economics of technology. There are some issues. We are really in the middle of some huge issues here. I don't think I talked about this at all on the show. I might have brought it up a little bit yesterday. The Straits of Hormuz, there's an issue going on there that not many people are talking about. It's kind of an unknown thing. We talk about oil all the time. Oh, the oil is not going to turn on. Oil. It's all about oil. Now, let me just say this one thing. There's a lot of other things that go through the Straits, and some of them are raw materials that have a depreciation date on them. One of them is helium. Helium, believe it or not, is now. There's many places in the world where helium. It used to be that the only place that I ever heard of that Germany does not have any helium, and that's why they were using hydrogen during the war. That's why you had the Hindenburg. Need I say more? Hydrogen can be produced. Helium cannot. Yes and no. It's a byproduct of some things with natural gas. It can be, it's an offshoot. But the purest forms of helium, we're talking 99%, what's got an and whatever rating. It's got some kind of rating system that they use for purity. Some of the most pure forms of helium are found in the Qatar area. Some would say, if you want to try to pronounce it there, the way they pronounce things. I hear people trying to pronounce their Qatar, whatever it is, Qatar, whatever, whatever it is, it's Qatar. What's the Qatar? Whatever it is, I don't know. There is a facility there that produces a lot of the helium that is used in the manufacturing of chips. Now, the reason they need to have the helium is because It is the smallest element that we know of in terms of as a gas. So they use it to find any kind of leaks in the system. If there's any, it's very hard to contain it. If there's any leaks at all, it is a they use the helium to find leaks in their system for making the chips and making things. There's no substitute for it, and they have that's what they're using. It's as an inert type gas, and so the problem is it has an expiration date on it. Once it's in their storage containers, once it's in the ships to try to move this stuff, I think it has it's 35 days. It could be more than that, but I think it's about 35 days that they can keep this stuff on a ship before they have to get it into a facility where they can contain it. And of course, we're pushing that now. And there's a lot of now. One of the biggest things that happened with the Iranian strike that when they hit Qatar was that they did hit and damage, and we don't know the extent of the damage yet, the facility that produces the helium in Qatar. So this is a big deal with regard to what's going to happen with the supply chain with chips again. Now, during COVID, we had the issue of chips, and we had, of course, the new cars that were, you know, coming out with computer systems and all that kind of stuff. They had all kinds of issues getting new cars because they couldn't find the chips and blah, blah, blah. So here we go again, more technology issues. Now, at the same time that this is going on, we have a very interesting thing that has happened. Now, Google is a very shrewdly run company. Here's what's something that's interesting about it. At the same time, we have the chip shortage potential, or the chip issue, which all these data centers are just in demand of having chips like crazy because they want to get this stuff up and running now. They don't want to take 10 years to get a data center put in, because by the time you get that put in, it's going to be obsolete. It's going to be, the technology is improving that quickly. But Google has now come out and openly published a coding system. I can't remember it. I heard it yesterday. I can't think of the name of it. It's Mantex or Manx or whatever it's called. This new compression system for putting data on a chip that increases the viability of that chip by 6 times. So if you have a 1 gigabyte thumb drive, you could put 6 gigabytes on the same thumb drive. Now, most thumb drives now, I think, you hold 2 terabytes or whatever. It's ridiculous what you can get on a thumb drive now, a little USB drive. You're talking 6 times. So if you have a 2 terabyte hard drive, you could get 12 terabytes on that same hard drive. This is huge. Now, it has a few issues. Their biggest issue with compression is corruption. And so you have to be able to compress things without them being corrupted, without the files being corrupted, as well as being able to compress and decompress them very quickly, because you need to be able to access the data. That is where this whole coding system has worked. Now, they probably used AI to help them, you know, figure some of this stuff out. But this is going to make a huge difference as well in the ability for chips to do more work, existing chips to be able to do more work, let alone the M5 carbon chips and all that other stuff that's going on right now. So this is it's a fascinating thing. And Google just announced this within the last week. It didn't make much news. They just kind of let it drop without really any big fanfare. So there's a lot of things happening under the rug here that nobody is really discussing with regard to AI. And there's a huge race to get things moving faster and having truly agentic. The biggest problem with it, now, when I say agentic, I mean agents. So you'll have a digital agent that will work in your system, in your computer, whatever it is you do. That can check your emails, can send your, you know, pay your bills. You can have it set up to do all kinds of things. It can have access. It can make trades for you on the stock market. It can do. It's depending on what you have it trained to do and what kind of skills you give it. All this kind of stuff. The kind of working limitations you give it. There was something called OpenClaw that came out just about a couple months ago, and it took over the programming world, those guys who were out there coding, they went nuts with this thing. And so it went crazy. And what ended up happening was through a process where they were using it with specifically, they were using it with Claude, C-L-A-U-D-E, which is Anthropic is the company that owns Claude. It's the LLM model, the large language model. It's much like ChatGPT, but this is Claude. It's a different model. Anthropic has done huge things in terms of expansion and abilities with their Claude model. They now have Claude Code. They have Claude Cowork. And now they have something called Dispatch within that system. It is a rapidly expanding. It's taken over the AI market, in my opinion. I think it's going to be the place to go because of all the backup, the things that they're doing in the background. Now, they want to do an agentic program. They want to have an agentic thing where you have your own little agent, and the agent can actually create agents to do other things, and you can create all this stuff online. That you can do all this stuff online, marketing, web research, all kinds of things you can do in the background with this thing. Build websites, do whatever. And it's especially big in the marketing world. But the biggest problem is security and giving it too much permission to do some things. In fact, in the process of all this, Anthropic basically said OpenClaw cannot be used on their platform. There wasn't something they designed. It was something someone else designed, and they were using it with Claude. And people were going crazy with it. Well, then they basically came up and said, we're not going to allow this. It's not secure. It can be hacked. Well, sure enough, as soon as the guy changed the name of it, or through the process of getting it out of the Claude program, out of that process, and changing the name and doing some things, he kind of messed up. And within minutes, there was this huge leak that caused about $500 million worth of trades and some things that happened with some people's accounts. People lost a lot of money because he kind of screwed up in the process of changing the domain name and some other things, and somebody else snuck in and some people snuck in and took some of the assets that were labeled. He just didn't do things quite right in the process there. I'm surprised. Now the guy who is the designer, now it was called an OpenClaw because it was open to I can go right now. I can go on GitHub and I can get the program for that thing. I can start my own little. What you do is you put it on your own little computers. A lot of people are buying Mac Minis because they don't have to have a monitor hooked up to that thing. So they just have it running in the background. They hook up a little monitor to it for a minute or whatever, and then just put the program on there, and they give it its own little account, and it's got its own little, person. It's like its own little, it's your little employee over there on the side. And you can program that thing to do, you can tell it what it can do, can and can't do. You can give it limitations. You can get all kinds of things that it can do. And you kind of describe what it is. You kind of put it actually has a soul file. So you're typing in there what it is, what its responsibilities are, and what it's designed to do. And then you just turn it loose, and it just does its thing. And it's on a computer that's always on. It's always on the internet, and it does stuff in the background. You can set it up to run a schedule. It can give you a daily morning briefing, whatever you're going to do. And it'll go gather data for you throughout the day and throughout the night or whatever. It'll keep track of certain things. It'll answer your emails. It'll text you. It'll call you on the phone and talk to you. It's like having your own little worker bee that never sleeps. And so this is now here's the thing. You can have that agent run 20 other agents, and they can all have their own little tasks that they go out and do. And now they can't turn a wrench. Like I've always said, they cannot turn a wrench. Now they can call somebody and have somebody else turn a wrench. So if you have a machine running, and you have one of the agents overlooking that machine, monitoring everything it's doing all the time, and when something breaks, they call somebody. It'll automatically call somebody and say, hey, this one part, we see a tolerance here that's not quite right. We need to call somebody, get a different part for that whatever it is. Or we see the time on that machine is getting close to its oil change. We need to make sure we order somebody, come in and fill out a maintenance report, get that maintenance request to get that oil change on that machine. What lubrication schedule is coming up on that one? Whatever it is. As long as it's tied to the internet, as long as it has a way to monitor that thing, it can do those kinds of things. It's fascinating. It's amazing technology. Also very dangerous. And so this is where we are right now with the whole agentic world. Claude is coming up with, the problem is it's not secure. It can be hacked, and somebody can come in and hack your little agent, and then it can do all kinds of weird, stupid things, and it can, you know, they can basically, it can write them a check for, you know, $1 million. So the thing that Claude is doing now is coming up basically with kind of a slower paced system of having an agentic workforce without the security risks, without the security issues. So now at the same time, Google is kind of going along the same thing. They've got something called Manus. I think they just acquired Manus. Manus was kind of an associate program that I think now has actually been acquired by Google, if I understand correctly. So they're all racing towards this. Now, the funny thing is, Apple has been way behind in all this stuff. They've always said that, well, Siri is going to become your AI agent. All this, they've actually been using, I think, ChatGPT or something for their AI drivers for their LLM. But now what's happening is Siri is in, or I should say, Apple is in a very interesting position. Because of the phones that they have out there, and because of the phones, the network that they have on their phones, they're in a very interesting position to basically kind of leapfrog past some things into a situation where your iPhone will have all the apps on it needs to run your agents, which is, I think that they've either saw into the future that, I don't think they did. I think this is, they're just, they've been looking for a way to kind of, they've been way too slow developing other things. But now they realize, hey, this may be the ticket. They finally, because they've already got all the phones out there. Now of course, there's the Google, you know, there's Androids and stuff out there that can do all, you know, programs can be developed pretty quickly for Android. Whereas Apple's structure is a lot more rigid. The issue there is it's more secure. So I think that's where they have the advantage because of their strict limitations on developers and what can be done with their infrastructure as far as software goes. It's much more secure phone than an Android phone is. However, that can be built into the cake as well. But so that's kind of where we are at right now. That's kind of the technology. I guess I've talked an awful lot today. Maybe just stumbled around through a lot of things. I didn't really say anything, but hopefully it's interesting for you in terms of what's going on with the AI world. It goes so much further than just a modified or an expanded chat window that most people have. Most people treated it like a glorified Google search. That's where the majority, probably about 75 to 80% of the population, is just simply uses ChatGPT as a, you know, hey, you know, just kind of a little bit more in-depth Google search. So instead of piping something in to the Google search window, and it just gives you websites of where it's going, it literally tells you the information that's out there on the web. It answers the question. And instead of just helping you find places where the answers are, it literally gives you the answers, and it will make stuff up. So there's that whole other issue of the hallucinations and everything else that it will do, because it wants to please you so much that it will make stuff up. It won't even do what's, you know, but you just have to tell it, be honest, and show your references, show your information, and it will do that. So you can keep it in line just by telling it to stay in line. And you can walk up to it. You can type in something. Say, "Hey, I've got an idea for this product," and it'll say, "Oh, that's a great idea for the product. Oh, well, here, you can just do this. Do this." It'll give you all the ideas, all the stuff. But at the same time, that's what it's designed to do. It's designed to help, be encouraging, and help you. It'll encourage you to drive right off a cliff if you think it's good. If you think it's a good idea, and that's what you want to do, it'll tell you how to do it. So you have to kind of be careful, and you have to actually tell it to say, "Hey, give me pros and cons of this idea I have, and let me know what the realistic view is on this kind of thing. Is there a market for this or not? Or what is the potential market, and what are the downfalls, and what's the bad side?" And it will give you those. It'll do that stuff. But you have to tell it to do that stuff, or it won't do it. Otherwise, it's going to be, it leans towards the positive ideas of. So you have to be really careful with it in that respect. Now, at the same time, there's going to be a whole big long thing of legal issues, in my opinion, that are going to be probably behind the scenes that are going to be a big issue with a lot of this. So we'll see how that all goes. But in the meantime, yeah, I guess that's where we are with that stuff in the meantime. But the, yeah, that's pretty much all I got to say about it. I'm just running out of time. I wish I had more time to talk about it, but, that's kind of where we are with the whole AI world right now. Tomorrow's show will be Wishy-Washy Wednesday or middle of the week Wednesday. We have some things we'll be talking about tomorrow. The plan is to have a live show tomorrow, but I don't know if that's going to work out. I got some things I got to do in the morning, so we'll just have to see how that works out. We'll have to work on that to try to get it done, but. In the meantime, we'll kind of sign. I'll be back in a minute to talk about what's going to happen on the show tomorrow, and we'll do that.
It's the news. According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
Yeah, according to me,
it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me,
it's the news.
Yeah, it's the news. According to me.
Apparently, I just made it back. I had to run off and do something. I just got back. Hope you didn't miss me too much there. Anyway, so that's what happened tomorrow. And we will be kind of working on some of those things. Now, in the meantime, if you do want to call the show, what happened to it? Huh. That was right. There it is. Wow. 574-651-7685. If you want to call or text the show, you can leave a message there. If you do live outside the country, you can call or leave a text message by going to google.com/voice. Put that number in, 574-651-7685, and I might play your comment, or I might just talk about your comment. Whatever you want me to do. That's kind of how it works. See whatever we have to do on that. In the meantime, that's about it, folks. I will try to talk to you tomorrow. Hopefully, it'll be a live show. I don't know for sure or not. It'll be about 9 o'clock if I do, 8 o'clock, something like that. I don't know. God bless. Have a great rest of the day, and I will see ya.